You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello, everyone. And welcome to Dear Daisy, a podcast about secrets. I am Daisy. I'm recording this on March 9th, which is the 32nd anniversary of my mom's death. And we have daylight savings time roll back, which she would have loved. Every year when we turn the clocks and we lost daylight, she got very mad. So it's fitting that we gain sunlight. 32 years is a long time. It's weird when somebody so integral to your life has been gone for most of it. You know, I didn't know her past being 13 years old. So like, I don't even really have a sense of like who she was outside of being my mom, although she was very much herself. You know what I mean? Sometimes I feel like I have trouble getting along with other parents. Not all other parents, obviously, but my therapist was pointing out that like, I'm just authentically myself all the time. And I think a lot of people with kids are like, you know, in parent mode, like this is me as a parent. And then this is me as a, you know, a person outside of my kid, which I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I am not able to compartmentalize. And I think my mom was similar, for better or for worse. She was a pretty angry lady in general. And I'm trying to be less angry. Some years ago, I was mad about something, and Kurt and Monty like went out and they came back, and Kurt said in front of Monty to me, Monty says, you know, you're angry all the time. And I left and I stayed at a hotel that night. And that was a big turning point for me. I think that was like a serious wake-up call, because I think I was angry a lot. I mean, I still am, but in a different way. I think I just had sort of a hair trigger temper. And I walk around with a lot of guilt about that still. I worry that I sort of fucked Monty up in the first years of his life, just sort of not having any patience and getting like unreasonably angry about things that didn't really warrant. And so I think I sort of turned the bus around and realized that like things had to change. So I am less angry than I used to be, which is not to say that I'm not angry, because I'm pretty mad. And I can lose my temper. And I also walk around with a lot of shame, you know? I mean, I think we all do. But I walk around with shame about like how I used to be and shame about how I still am. And like this morning, I think I might have forgotten to take my meds for 2 days. Oops. I took them this morning. But I woke up feeling like really bad about myself. You know, I am a disorganized mess. Like it's who I am. If you go into our bathroom, I have the left side and Kurt has the right side. And if you open his drawers, they're like neat. Everything is arranged. You know, the pill bottles are all on there, like standing up the way they should be. And if you open mine, it's just a fucking disaster area. And that pretty much sums up us. And I wish I wasn't like this, you know, but I don't know how to not be like this. My bedside table is just covered in books and things. And my desk is, I have 4 beanies sitting here. Why do I need 4 beanies on my desk? Why? Who does that? Why is that a thing? And my desk, this is the desk that my dad made my mother. So this was my mom's desk. So it means a lot to me, but it has no drawers. So I have a pile of mail that I don't know when I'll get to it. Probably never. I've got this old fucked up painting that I made that I was using as like, why is this on my desk? This I can throw away. I know I can throw this away. I don't like being this way, but I don't know where to put things. So anyway, I walk around with a lot of shame about that. And then I think about people who actually do like horrible things in the world, just walking around with their chest puffed out, just waking up like their shit don't stink. And I wish I were different, but you know, here I am, just imperfect. All right, let's see what people have to say. Yeah, Ashley's saying there's a comedian that talks about how annoying it is to be a parent and how you try to do something nice for your kids and they complain about it. So every trip we always say, why is dad always in a bad mood? Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Jody says, if my husband ever leaves, it will be due to my giant pile of mail. Yeah, Kurt has a lot of patience. I mean, look, I have patience too. There are things he does that drives me nuts. I can't think of one right now, but there are things he does that drive me nuts. Give me a minute and I'll think about it. There's a very loud bird outside. It's a gorgeous day, but it's still very cold. And let me tell you something. I'm over it. I'm over it being cold. I'm ready for the summertime, the spring. I'm ready for the spring. I was a cardinal, just landed on my bird feeder with a very bright red beak. Sometimes when they land on my bird feeder, I have to sit incredibly still so they don't get scared and fly away. Forgive me. All right, let's go. Enough of this bullshit. Dear Daisy, my husband is a wonderful man. He's kind and hardworking, the type of person who never asks for anything but would give the shirt off his back. But growing up, he was always in the background. His parents favored his brother, the middle sibling, in ways that were subtle but undeniable. More praise and more attention. My husband never said much about it. He learned early on that if he didn't expect too much, he wouldn't be disappointed. Aww. Now that we have children of our own, I thought maybe things would shift. Instead, history is repeating itself. Their world revolves around my husband's brother and his kids. Holidays and even casual visits, it's always about them. They always babysit for my brother-in-law and his wife, but when we ask for help, they seem to be busy. Our children are loved, but not in the same all-consuming drop-everything way. My husband would never admit it hurts, but I see it. It hurts me too. I want to say something. I want to tell them how unfair it is, but my husband doesn't want me to. He says it's not worth it. What about my kids? The youngest brother is still in his 20s and not married, so it's hard to tell if anything will shift once he settles down. Daisy, do I listen to him and let it go? They're nice, caring people, but they just seem clueless. Oh. I mean, listen, I think unfortunately you have to follow your husband's lead because you are the wife and the husband is always right. And you're basically his property. No. No, but it is his parents and his family dynamic. That said, I do think maybe you could advocate for yourself a little bit more with him and explain to him why it matters so much to you. The thing is it might not even matter to your kids. This might be a you issue. A you issue? You know what I mean? Like, you might be thinking that your kids are seeing the imbalance or feeling left out or feeling like, oh, grandma, grandpa treat the other kids much better. They might not even be noticing it. They might not even really care. You know, you just don't know. It sucks, but I don't think you should talk to the parents without your husband on board. I really feel like it's his family dynamic. So Ashley in the chat is basically, she's like, did I write this letter? Except for the nice caring people part, that's iffy. And she says her kids actually started seeing the imbalance, but it works because now they're able to speak up for themselves. Yeah, I mean, maybe that will be on your kids. I mean, listen, I know it's frustrating. I'm going to be honest because what else can I be ever? But like, my parents have never been helpful, really. You know, I mean, they are here and there, but like, there's never been an attitude of like, oh, of course we'll watch the kids. Like if we went on vacation, I would not be leaving my kid with my parents. We were going to see them shortly after Monty started eating solid foods. And so I sent them like an email explaining what he was eating so that they could like get ready, you know, and have food in their house, which is pretty standard. And my dad was annoyed. He was like, you know, I just thought it was ridiculous. And then a couple years later, he sent me an incredibly long email about how to take care of his dog. So that was a good time. I think if it really is bothering you, if it's not something that you can let go of, I think that you should talk to your husband some more and be like, listen, I don't know how much you've talked to him, obviously. Maybe you have, but like, maybe you can impress upon him why you think it's so important. Sometimes things are unfair and they're just unfair, you know? And with my experience with people, I have a feeling that talking to them about it is not really going to change anything. They're not going to suddenly decide that your husband's worth is as much as his other sibling, which is shitty, but that's the truth. I'm not sure that there's much you can do to like change them. And unfortunately, I think this is just one of those situations where it's just unfair. And maybe you can, you know, sort of phase them out, not all the way. Like, this isn't something to like excommunicate them for, but like include them a little less, you know, or don't go to family functions. Be like, oh shit, sorry, we're busy, with people that actually care about us. Barry says you have to sort of go with what he wants to do in this and process whatever you're feeling with your therapist. Yeah. Your kids eventually will decide, like, I mean, that's the thing, is they're affecting their own relationship with their grandkids, and that's on your grandkids. Like, it doesn't sound to me like you really care about your relationship with them. And unfortunately, it's going to be their consequence when their grandkids are like, nah, we're cool, we don't want to hang out, you know? Ashley says her husband doesn't bring it up with his parents, so she just talks to her therapist. You have to manage your expectations about them. And then Barry says, or like when you don't end up inviting them to your wedding and you get written out of the will, but whatever. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my stepmom likes to use that as a quote unquote joke, like, I'm writing you out of the will. And I just think it's like one of the unfunniest jokes you can tell. It's also just like, it really says a lot about that person, right? Like, your value in my life can be judged by money, literally, how much money I'm going to give you for like being in my life. Some people suck, and those people have kids and they don't work out their fucking trauma, and then their kids have kids and you got to work out your own trauma. I think where you do have control is like, you're allowed to tell your husband, I don't want to hang out with them. I don't want the kids hanging out with them, you know, especially if you think the kids are starting to see the imbalance. If they are, you have the power to be like, you may not want to talk to them, husband, but I don't want to hang out with them. I don't want our kids to be around them and to watch them sort of, you know, blatantly behaving this way. That's where you have power or control. Katie says, I'm writing you out of the will, LOLOL. I'm putting you in a home, you old troll, LOLOL. Yeah. So that's what I have to say. I'm sorry it's like that. Sorry that some people suck. But unfortunately, I think this is your thing to deal with, you know, in therapy. Thank you for, you know, writing.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Open the door to huge savings now at Menards. Enhance the appearance of your home with a new stylish garage door. Choose from our large in-stock selection of ideal garage doors or design your own using our free garage door designer in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on ideal garage doors. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. All right, here we go. Dear Daisy, First off, thank you for providing a space for us to vent and almost crowdsource our questions to you and the backstage effers. Second, an update I'd like to share. I deleted the guy's contact and texts, then took an active year off from the apps. This was the situation that went south. I think this is referring to a previous letter that I'm not sure I remember because I have the memory of a goldfish. Third, I have a question or need advice or whatever. I have a coworker who has a few months seniority on me, so she trained me when I first started. It's been a year and some change now, and I feel more confident in my role. The issue is this person was not respecting my boundaries, and I tried 3 times to work with her directly. She would be okay for like 3 months, then would start up again with the overstepping. I brought this up to my manager, and she got HR involved. The coworker was coached for improvement, and that was that. On my end, I stopped socializing with her, only interacting with her if needed. Now we're going through a restructuring, and my manager is moving to a different team. A new manager was hired and will start later in the month. So the coworker started up again, poking at me. It's like she thinks she's running things. And I'm doing my best to work around her. My questions are, 1, how do I get rid of my bitterness toward her? 2, am I being too sensitive? More background, I'm a person of color and I would post a Black History profile in a blurb during the month of February in our work chat. This coworker during the election would post so much Trump stuff, it was so gross. I feel like she could be racist and not realize it. I say this because she posted all of this in our work group chat and then tells us she doesn't vote. Also, she talks down to me. I'm older than her. It feels uncomfortable. She has had issues with other people on my team, but I seem to be the flavor of the month. Hopefully this is enough information without revealing who I am or her to give some context for some advice. Thank you. Sincerely, shine bright like a diamond. Well, first of all, she is racist. Just gonna say that. You know, maybe not in the sense of like running around actively being an overt racist, but like white people are racist because we benefit from a racist system. It's okay. I know that might make some of you uncomfortable. It is uncomfortable and it's shitty, but it's the truth. And that's why we don't say I'm not racist. That's why we say I'm anti-racist, because we are racist. Unless you can figure out how to completely stop benefiting from white supremacy, in which case, please let me know. I'd love to hear it. And somebody who posts something about someone who is openly racist, i.e. Trump, into a space with people of color is racist. That is racism. And people in the chats are saying microaggressions are still racist aggressions. And it's our job as white people to understand that and know that and try to be better. Yeah, posting political things to a work group chat is wild. And I mean, maybe this wasn't some like overseen group chat. It probably wasn't, but that's a wild thing to do. You know, it's like posting political stuff in like the Facebook neighborhood page. Like this is not the place for it, you know. I think unfortunately, when you work in a place with other people, there are people that you're not going to get along with, and there are people that are going to be shitty. And at this point, it seems like you've tried various avenues to like address it, and I don't think it's going to change. It's like these grandparents. Like, I don't think it's going to, she's not going to change. And certainly you're not going to be the catalyst. So you either have to just keep your head down and like do work and fucking severance that shit, right? Like when you're at work, you're at work. And when you're not at work, you're not at work. Or actively find a different job or like really push it. I feel like those are your only options. And I don't mean put your head down and like take somebody's aggression and racism. I just mean like speak up for yourself when you need to. And just know that like every few months or whatever, this person is going to start poking at you again. And maybe you could just say to her, like, you're doing it again. And just, I don't know, leave it at that. I don't know if you can get rid of your bitterness toward her, except to maybe just remind yourself that like she is broken. It's hard. It's so unfair. It's so unfair to have to like be like, well, this is the system we live in. And if I want to make a paycheck, I just got to like you know, bite down on the popsicle stick and take the abuse, but like, it shouldn't be that way. You shouldn't have to just take it. God, it's so fucking hard. And it's getting harder, obviously. And like, we're in a really unsure phase right now, right? We're like, because of like, you know, DEI getting canceled all over the place, it's like, what even are your protections? And like, who knows what this new manager is going to be like? Can you get a different job? I know that's much easier said than done. I don't think you're being too sensitive, by the way. And I don't think that posting stuff about Black History Month is the same as posting shit about Trump. You know, it's like when I do episodes based on Black history and people call me racist toward white people. No, nope. I'm just talking about Tuskegee or fucking Tulsa massacres. Like, first of all, leave the group chat. Let's do that. Let's start there. And again, like, it sucks that you have to remove yourself from places, but like, is that place even worth it? You know? That group chat, I mean. It's really hard. Let's see what the chat says. Barry says, I think so too, Daisy, but I'm not sure to what. So let's just say that everything I said was right. Because Barry says so. Jess asks if you can shift to the new team with the old boss. Ashalola says, white people, man. Barry says, every time the colleague does something racist, Venmo requests some reparations. Like a swear jar, but better. Katie says, imagine the whole audience naked to get rid of the nerves. Imagine her naked, but also covered in tentacles. I read that first as testicles.
Ew.
Ashlalala says, and I agree with this, that the current boss needs to make the new boss aware of this situation. I mean, I don't know how much control you have over that, but like if I were in charge, a lot of things would be different, but that's one thing. Yeah, file another complaint with HR so there's a paper trail. Because now it sounds like she's the one that filed the complaint and you didn't. You might need to do that. That sucks. Yeah, you do have to document everything. And even if it's just, you know, whatever between the two of you, microaggression or whatever, just write it down with the date and time that it happened and what she said. I hate everybody. Except for the people here right now and listening. It's hard to have to be out in the world, you know, and like interact with people. That's why I never leave my house. Katie says there's more of us than there are of them. I hope you're right. Doesn't feel like that these days. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. See if you can find a different job. See if you can maybe head over with the other boss or maybe sit down with the other boss, the old boss, and be like, I need your help. Can you help me with this transition? Can you help? Can you make sure you talk to the new person about this? Because this is an issue. I don't know. Is that helpful? Bernie's still having rallies? Oh, that's nice. Sort of apropos of this, but not really. I posted a picture of Monty and Kurt at a rally last week that I couldn't go to because I was working, holding up signs that I made for the women's rally in 2017. One of them said, I'm tired of making these signs. Which is a play on a sign I saw online that was like something like that. And then the other one said, Donald Trump is a bad guy, which was a direct quote from Monty at the time and really sums it up. And I posted this picture of the two of them and some white guy commented something like, hear me out. I think that we have to stop focusing on gender and trans issues because like the Republicans are, you know, sort of sweeping the floor with us. And listen, I think this person has a point. Like, I think in some ways, I mean, actually, it's difficult because it's all connected. Uh-oh, Barry just disagreed with me. Oh, no, she's about to stuff her face. Okay. Unfortunately, I think there's enough people, and we've learned this now, that don't care about bathroom bills and trans issues and trans people in sports and really more care about, like, the price of eggs and gas. And I think Republicans sort of seized on that in the election and fear-mongered because of it. So I sort of understand that point. I've heard other people make it. You know, I think in some ways people are like, right now, identity politics, if you want to call it that, is not the issue. Like, the issue is, like, the economy. I disagree. I think it's both the issue. But, like, anyway, that's what this guy's point was. And I was like, okay, but neither of these signs have anything to do with gender issues or trans issues. So why are you coming into my space and lecturing at me. You know, I had somebody I didn't know come and lecture me when I posted a picture of Monty in one of my this fucking guy shirts. And he was like going on and on about how children shouldn't be able to wear those things at schools. And I was like, why are you coming into my space and yelling at me about something that is not happening right now in this space? And I went and looked at that guy's page, and he was like all about, you know, like, you know, listen to Black women and stop with the microaggressions. And I was like, yeah, also you coming into my space and yelling at me about something that isn't happening is a microaggression. And don't do that. Fucking liberals. We gotta stop fucking screaming at each other. Anyway, where was I? Where am I? What's happening? I'm sorry that's the situation that you're going through. I don't like it. It makes me mad. Also, where are the other people in your office, you know, to like stand up to this woman? This is a missive to white people. Like, when you see this shit happening, you have to fucking step up. That's part of being anti-racist. I'm sorry. You can come live on the commune when we start it.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
All right, I'm going to do another one, and this one says, probably timely, read this soon. All right. Dear Daisy, I have a friend who throws a PowerPoint party every year for her birthday. I've presented at everyone she's thrown, but it's coming up and I have no ideas. Last year, I went through the cast of Titanic and talked about whether I'd have let them share the wood panel with me. It's not a door. You do not want to get me started on that. The year before, I named my favorite thing about every year she has been alive. Oh, that's so sweet. I need an idea that's fun, funny, punny, something along that vein. Any suggestions you or your awesome listeners can come up with would be super appreciated. P.S. Tell the birdies outside your window I say hi. Okay, first of all, is this Barry? Oh, it's Ashton. Okay, so you had the you went to the party last night. I know this now. I'm sorry that we didn't get to this. Although in my defense, I don't think you sent it in time. I have never been to a PowerPoint party. Right off the bat, I'd say do a PowerPoint about lesbian birds. Apparently, this is a thing. I heard it on Radiolab. There's this like this really small island that has like all these, I think they're seagulls or some sort of seabird. And they learned that, you know, there's two birds tending to each nest. And they found out that a large portion of them were lesbian birds. And they were like, well, how could this possibly be? Like, who's fertilizing the egg? And so what they're learning is that one of them goes off and gets the egg fertilized by a male and then is basically just like peace and goes and raises the birds with another female. So first of all, we should co-opt that as humans. And secondly, I would do that as a PowerPoint. Chris says, a party with homework? I'm out. Yeah, I mean, I sort of agree. Don't make me do homework. Let's hear from the chat. Also, maybe we'll post this on socials. I'm trying to be better about posting on socials because, like, it's what you're supposed to do. And maybe people can weigh in there. So for context, everybody, before we started recording, Barry was telling us about this party that they went to last night, and it went on for 5 hours. And people's presentations were supposed to be 10 to 15 minutes max and went to 45 minutes at least. Barry didn't even get to present, and then they left. Barry said it was like the worst people in class who love to ask questions, so class lasts until the bell rings. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. I don't know. What are some other ideas for PowerPoint parties? How to properly clatch your outfit? Clatch? That's a thing, right? Clash and match at the same time? Like, that's what the kids are doing these days? Oh, Katie's thinking, and we're going to get a slew of insanity. Wow, it's quiet in the chat. PowerPoint presentation on the history of words. I mean, that's sort of where I'm going too, like weird science-y, like strange, obscure science stuff. Words like spooge. Wait, is spooge different from splooge? Wait, spooge or splooge? Is it splooge or spooge? Or schmegma. That's a fun one. Barry's gagging. I don't know. Y'all are quiet today. Oh, Chris wants someone to do a PowerPoint on how to get this opossum out of his garage. One of the best ones yesterday was a person who was a theater kid who hadn't seen a ton of musicals, so her PowerPoint was what she assumed the musicals were about. That's very good. That would be like me doing a PowerPoint about musicals. That's very funny. Yeah, the history of monogamy. That's what I would do. Or not monogamy so much as like marriage, you know, like what the actual purpose of marriage has been over the years. Women's history that you got wrong. Katie says, how tall leading men actually are. Oh, Love Actually. I would do a PowerPoint on why Love Actually is a terrible movie. That's what I would do. That and Moulin Rouge. Sorry, I don't like Moulin Rouge. The reprise of the song is not supposed to happen directly after you've just sung the song. It's supposed to come later. Don't sing the same fucking song 8 times in a row. That's not how it works. I don't know who fell asleep when they were doing that, but that's not how it goes. A PowerPoint on how awful season 8 of Love is Blind has been. A PowerPoint on why Freda is such an angel baby. You could do a PowerPoint on the couples that didn't make it onto the show, but like fully went to the vacation and got married. Katie just randomly told us that she has an irrational aversion to the sound of styrofoam. I actually do too. Huh? Apparently I have an aversion to even just the thought of it. It's making my teeth hurt. Okay. Anyway, let's move on from that. .org. I would like somebody to come over to my house and tell me how to be an adult. Is that something somebody could do for me? I don't know what I'll give you in exchange. Just the pleasure of being in my company. Barry says I could make a PowerPoint. My therapist was like, well, why don't you get like a drawer, like a file? But the thing is that then I'd just have a drawer full of junk. Like this is not, none of this is important stuff. So then it would just be in a drawer. I already have a trunk full of that kind of stuff. Shit that I'm never, what is it for? What do I need that stuff for? Somebody was doing a local production of The Secret Garden and they had him, he like paints silks. And so they had him painting silks like each night live in the performance. And they're gorgeous. And he sent them to me. They're beautiful. But what do I do with them? I have all these silk panels that are painted. What do I do? I'm like, should I make jackets out of them? I can't make a jacket. I don't know how to make a jacket. And also like silk, wouldn't it fall apart? I don't know. What are the silk panels meant for? They were just a thing that they did that this guy made during the show to like display on the show, in the show. You know, autograph it. Oh, 3 people in my donor. Yeah, but I didn't even make them. Somebody else made them. Isn't that weird? Curtains. That's an idea. I should pull them out. Maybe I'll just do like a like an Insta Live and I'll pull them out and get, I'll crowdsource some ideas. Wall art or tapestry. Yeah. I thought about that too. I just worry because they're silk. Like, aren't they going to get dirty? Shrug. All right. Add an extra room to your home to display them. That's a great idea. That's what I should do. You're right. Have I ever thought about having an editor come help with my life? I probably should. I do need a life editor. A home edit. Is that a thing? Like a home editor? Do people come in and edit your home? Oh, like Marie Kondo, who apparently her house is a mess, I learned. Okay, listen, enough of this nonsense. I have to finish a script about aliens. So my minimum word count for my scripts is 4,500 words, and that's about a half an hour-ish. So I try to get them more closer to 55 because Audio Boom, you know, requires a certain number of ad spots. By the way, the number of people who complain about how many ads are in my show, you can pay $8 a month. Maybe, I know that's a lot for some people, but like, then don't, I don't know what to tell you. Like, you know, there are things that I don't pay extra for and I get the ads and I'm not going to write them and be like, hey, I don't like these ads because I know what the other option is. Pay the fucking $8 or the 10, whatever it is, and you won't get the ads. Like, I'm not going to write into Hulu and be like, I don't like the ads. Anyway, my point is that I wrote a script and I finished everything from the research packet and I was only at 3,000 words. So I had at least another 1,500 words that I just had to like fucking bullshit. Which actually I think means it's going to be a great script. Also, now that we're on the topic of people writing in, I want to vent for a second. People write in ridiculous things, right? They complain because they don't understand jokes or they don't understand, they can't use critical thinking or they think I'm being racist toward white people because I'm talking about something awful that happened to black people. Somebody wrote in recently complaining that I use the music in the show to manipulate my listeners. What in the actual fuck? It took me four times reading this thing to try to understand what this person was fucking saying. They left two separate comments on two separate episodes, and the second one was like, see what I'm saying? Unbelievable. And then somebody else wrote in, and again, it was very hard to understand what they were complaining about, but I think what they were complaining about was that I did an ad for dog food, which involves killing animals to eat. And they told me that I had to check my priority. I just... Don't you have anything to do? Like, people are dying, you know? Go watch your favorite movie without music in it and tell me how good the movie is. Manipulate people. Manipulate this dick! All right. Today's card is Isis. She is, well, I know she's an Egyptian goddess, and she has white wings growing out of her arms. She's wearing a feathered headdress and she's nursing a child. And there's a large bird with something in its talons. I don't know what it is. Oh, goodness. And there's a person underneath one of her wings. She's like sort of sitting in the shallow waters by the reeds. Isis is the goddess of mothering. I conceived, carried, and birthed all life. Then out of my love for you, my children, I gave you my beloved mate, Osiris, lord of vegetation, god of the grain, to be cut down and born again. I nursed you through sickness with my healing arts. I made you clothes and invented weaving and spinning. I watched over your first steps, helping you grow from infancy to maturity. I was even there with you at the end to hold your hand and guide you to immortality. You were all, and I gave you all, and to you I was all, Isis, great goddess, all mother. Isis, also known as Oset, exceeding queen, and Isis Panthea, Isis the all goddess, was worshipped in many places, including Egypt, the Roman Empire, Greece, and Germany. When her beloved Osiris was killed, then dismembered and scattered by her brother Set, Isis searched out the pieces and reassembled them. She found all but his penis, which she replaced with one of gold. Through use of her magic and healing arts, she brought Osiris back to life, then conceived through his golden penis the sun god Horus. When the temples of Isis were turned into Christian churches, Isis, with baby Horus on her lap, became the Virgin Mary and Jesus. Isis has appeared in your life to tell you it's time for mothering. Have you been giving all your mothering energy away without keeping some for yourself? Have you taken on a new project or just had a new baby? Do you feel that something needs extra mothering, but you aren't up to it? Did your own mother or caregiver give you the mothering you needed? Isis says that it is important to get the mothering you need in order to heal past wounds. Everyone needs to be mothered, regardless of whether you are a maiden, mother, or crone. Well, I mean, it's interesting that I pulled this when I started this episode saying that it was the anniversary of my mother's death and talking about, you know, the kind of mother that my mother was and the kind of mother that I am. I don't know whether it's the first writer who is dealing with, you know, actual mothering issues, right? With your kids and the grandparents, the less than stellar grandparents, or the writer from, you know, dealing with shit from work. Like, I don't know, it feels appropriate. Mothering and nurturing. And sometimes we have to mother ourselves because our mothers aren't there anymore. Or we're adults and it's not appropriate to, like with that second letter writer, like you can't call your mom to come in and defend you. But like, yeah, you know, I think some people never got mothered and it shows, you know what I mean? All right, that feels good. I love you all so much, and I'm so grateful for all of you. Thank you to those of you who are here IRL virtually recording, and to those of you who listen every other week. I'm grateful for all of you. This is, you know, as I say, this is as much for me as it is for you. Probably more so for me. So that's it. Love you. Bye. Dear Daisy is a production of Grab Bag Collab and is brought to you by the generous patronage of our members. Amanda Rossman is my editor. Amanda and Amber Hunt are my partners in crime. Music was composed and performed by Kurt Bloom. If you have an idea for a limited series podcast that you'd like to talk to GrabBag about, email us at grabbagcollab@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram at GrabBagCollab. Follow me at Dear Daisy Pod and Daisy Egan. You can send me an anonymous email via Google Docs. The link is on our website, Patreon page, and social media. Remember that actual letters sent through the mail take priority, so write to me old-fashioned like at P.O. Box 10221, Cranston, Rhode Island, 02910. Help us out by spreading the word about our podcasts, and remember to drink water, rest, and be kind.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.